Welcome to Basic Gospel. Here daily at this time to bring the basic gospel, relevant, personal, and essential into your life. Hello, everybody. With Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis. And our purpose every weekday is to provide scriptural answers to your personal issues and Bible questions. This is where the basic gospel intersects with your daily life. Hear it, believe it, live it. The phone lines are open now, and we invite your calls. The number 1-800-677-9377. That's a toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada. And we're here with a live program to address those needs, those issues, and take you into the Word of God for the answer and the solution, the person of Jesus Christ. So we invite your calls right now. Call early in the broadcast, 1-800-677-9377. We're here to talk with you. Well, Richard, happy Friday to you. What's on
Thank
your mind
you.
Today?
Joy is on my mind today, and why can't I get any joy? We all desire to experience joy in our lives, and sometimes we wonder why we don't feel it all the time. And I think what we end up doing is confusing happiness and joy, and we'd like to talk about that. I mean, where do you find joy, and how does it differ from happiness, especially in the context of Jesus and this gospel that we talk about? Does the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, this forgiveness and eternal life we have as a result of him, does it have any bearing on this? And if so, how and why and where and all of that? So if you got questions about that or anything else that's on your mind, we'd love to talk with you.
You bet. Well, let's do that right now, Richard. Let's go talk to Paul, listening in Johnston, Rhode Island on WARV. Hi, Paul. Welcome to Basic Gospel. You're on the air.
Hello, brothers.
Hi there.
Hello.
My question today is about the Persian people and where did they come from originally? What land?
I believe, you'll have to check me on this, but I believe they have been in some form or other in that general vicinity, the Persians being Iran, modern-day Iran. They've been in that area for thousands of years. They have historically been in that area. Of course, all of that area way back, way back, tended to be tribal in nature. And in the fullness of time, there were two groups that kind of were at the ascendancy, and we see this in Daniel. So this is quite a ways down the line, the Medes and the Persians. And it ended up that originally the Medes were the stronger of the two, but the Persians became the stronger of the two. And after the Medes and Persians wiped out Babylon, that country is modern-day Iraq, the Persian side of things became stronger, and that's why we hear so much more about the Persians. But they've been there for thousands of years, 3,000 or 4,000 years, something like that, depending on the whole age of the earth and all of that stuff. But they've been there a long, rich history, just like the Babylonians had a long, rich history, and they have always not gotten along. And we see that even today. Today, even though they're both Islam, they both worship in the Muslim faith, they are from two different backgrounds. Of that, one are the Shiites and the other are the Sunnis, and they still don't get along, Iran and Iraq. So that history has been a long, long time, and I don't know that anyone has ever had a solution to that history. And the last people who tried to have a solution to that history were the British, when they were in the British Empire, and they kind of operated throughout the whole Middle East, and they drew arbitrary boundaries, and that just didn't work. We saw that as it finally came to fruition toward the end of World War II and all that. But long, long history, history of great scientific discovery in both countries, of art and wonderful societies. But they also have always been warlike and not gotten along that well. And neither one of them ever got along that well with God's people, Israel, right, further down in that country. Does that help?
Yes, it does. Thank you, brothers.
Yeah, I'm sure you can look that up on the Internet. There are many, many sites dedicated to the history of both peoples.
Thank you.
Paul, thank you for your question. Thank you for your call. Hope you'll keep listening and call again if we can be of further help. Plenty of open lines, 1-800-677-9377. This is Basic Gospel. Richard Piper and Bob Davis with you today. Bob Christopher is away on another assignment, and we encourage your calls right now. 1-800-677-9377. Plenty of space right now. Somerset, New Jersey. Let's talk to Jay listening on WMCA. Jay, hi. Welcome to Basic Gospel. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
We're doing fine.
Okay, I'm calling to ask, did Judas went to heaven? And if not, why?
What was the second part of your question?
I said if Judas went to heaven, and if he did not went to heaven, why?
If Judas did not go to heaven. Okay.
Yes.
There's nothing in the Bible that says Judas did or did not go to heaven. The presumption is that he did not, because he committed the ultimate sin, which was the complete rejection and then giving Jesus over to the authorities, thinking that, you know, he'd score some points or something. And because he rejected Jesus so completely and then committed suicide, it wasn't the suicide that would have sent him to hell. It was the rejection of Jesus. But because he committed suicide, there was no chance for him to repent and you know, come back to Jesus and say, look, I was wrong. I need to believe in you. So that's where the assumption that Jesus or Judas did not go to heaven comes from. But it's only an assumption. The fact of the matter is that whatever was going on with Judas is just like every one of us. It's between the individual and God. And God is the one who makes the determination. We don't. Based on the facts, it seems that Judas had gone too far. But based on God and his full knowledge, then I will defer to his judgment.
Okay.
Does that help, Jay?
Yes, sure.
Very good. Appreciate your call. Good to hear from you. Thanks for calling. 1-800-677-9377. And friends, during the month of June here at Basic Gospel, we have a new CD to aid your growth and understanding of what you hear every day on this broadcast. It's a message called The Basic Gospel Journey, and it's yours this month for a gift of any amount. As we've reminded you before, this radio outreach is supported by your prayers and gifts. Your gifts help to keep the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ coming. So please go online to realanswers.net and click the prominent link labeled This Month. We'll get a copy out to you right away. Again, that's our new CD, The Basic Gospel Journey, yours during the month of June for a gift of any amount. And again, open lines, 1-800-677-9377. We want to hear from you on this edition of People to People. The lines are pretty much wide open. Right now, let's go to Vallejo, California, talk to Michael, listening on KDIA. Michael, welcome to Basic Gospel. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you, Dave?
We're doing fine. Thank you, Michael.
I am looking, and I'm not quite sure if I'm quoting it right, but there is a verse I thought that said that they would accept wrong for right and right for wrong. And I was just wondering if you could elaborate on that, if that is true. I'm not sure if I'm quoting it right, but that's something to that effect.
Well, there are several different verses that talk about that kind of thing. Some in Romans 1, there's some stuff in the letters to Timothy. And the basic idea is that humans have this tendency for refusing to look at reality and instead trying to redefine reality in their own way, in a way that fits their preferences.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
Usually what that means is rejecting the clear word of God, rejecting what Jesus said about things, rejecting what the rest of the Bible writers have said about things under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and trying to redefine whatever their favorite behavior is as okay.
Right.
And it doesn't matter. I mean, it's not just the big things. I mean, we talk
right.
about things like white lies. That's mm-hmm. a permissible lie. Well, no, it's not permissible. And
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
What we forget is that as children of God, as Christians, we are called to perfection. Now, that is impossible to do. So what are we going to do? Therefore, we're called to keep our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and the perfecter of our faith, and allow him, by the Holy Spirit, to renew our minds and lead us the right direction. Laws can't do it. Human effort can't do it. Redefining things can't do it. It's Jesus or nothing. And there's the key issue. However people choose to redefine things and say that what's right is wrong and wrong is right, what it is at its core is what is a person's decision about Jesus Christ. Are they going to accept Jesus as their Savior, or are they going to reject Jesus as their Savior? That's what it's about. And the sad thing is that it's not only, quote, the lost people, the world who does this. People who claim to be saved do it as well.
Yeah, and that's the what I was looking back, because I think we want to, like you say, name the big sins, but it's the small sins too.
Oh yeah,
and, you know, like we talk about homosexuality, and but that is, no sin outweighs another sin. Sin is sin.
Sin is sin. You're absolutely right. Yeah, I mean, Jesus made it clear that even the smallest thought that was against the love of God is worthy of death, which means we're all worthy of death. So all of this redefining stuff matters not. It's again, Jesus.
Thank you for that. That really helped out a lot.
Thanks for your call, Michael.
Yes, indeed. Hope you'll keep listening and call again if we can help. Plenty of open lines, plenty of time remaining. 1-800-677-9377. Go to Covington, Louisiana. Talk to Adam, listening on our great New Orleans area affiliate, WLNO. Hi, Adam. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Hey, how you doing? I told the guy who'd asked another question, I kind of thought of another question while I was sitting waiting, and I hope it's not too much for me to change my question.
Well, we'll see.
But,
okay. Go ahead.
You know, I've known people who confess Jesus Christ and believe and say they're Christians, and then they've, you know, gone so far as to denounce him again. And I wonder, is that what the Bible's talking about when it says that those who have turned back to perdition? And what is the deal there? Because, like, if you're saved, I mean, once you've accepted Jesus Christ and you have the Holy Spirit living inside you, how can you renounce Jesus? Is that a scriptural thing? Is there some kind of scripture to explain that?
I think you've stated the point very cogently. If you have accepted Jesus and been indwelt by the Holy Spirit, how could you possibly walk away? You can't. So that means that the people who are walking away, who are rejecting this after what amount of time, probably never understood what salvation was in the first place. They didn't come to Jesus for life. They probably came for forgiveness. And
that the same thing talking about, like, the people who turn back again to perdition? Or
yes.
Is that what that's talking about?
Yes.
Okay, so
it's not talking
about... Also,
go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead. Well, I was going to... Is that also relatable to, like, the sowing of the seed? Is that, like, the people who heard the word and received it, and then they basically turned away later?
In some ways, yes. When the... As Jesus described, some of the seed fell on very shallow, rocky soil and never developed any roots. So it sprouts. I mean, God's word is so powerful that it sprouts in people, but they never fully turn to Jesus Christ for life. And it's only life, his life, that allows us to grow, allows us to mature as Christians, as children of God, allows us to have our minds renewed by the indwelling Holy Spirit. And, you know, it's a tragedy that there are so many people like that in our churches. And it's also not new. I mean, all of the letters, especially in the New Testament, all of the letters were written to churches, except for Timothy and Titus. And even then, Timothy and Titus were being warned that not everybody who claims to be a believer is a believer. And you can't tell. And so rather than trying to judge people one way or the other, oh, you're a believer, but you're not, what we're called to do is to present the gospel of Jesus Christ, the absolute truth in all situations, and that way the people who are saved are encouraged in their belief. The people who truly are not saved are challenged to accept the real Jesus. I was one of those people who had to be challenged to accept the real Jesus. I thought I was saved. I came to faith in a denomination, and I thought I was doing just fine. On the outside, I was fine. On the inside, I was terrible. And over time, God made sure that I either met people or read things that continually challenged my beliefs until such time as I accepted the real Jesus. And then I had a whole bunch more time to go as the Holy Spirit renewed my mind to get rid of the lousy beliefs that I had put on myself. Okay?
Right.
So for me, even though I thought I accepted Jesus when I was 11 or 12, I didn't really until I was 18. And then it wasn't until I was in my late 20s, early 30s, that the whole picture of grace and faith and this new covenant really began to bear fruit in me. And I was saved all along after 18. Before 18, I just thought I was saved, but I
right.
wasn't. But at 18, I got saved, and then God's patience led me along until everything began to bear fruit. And so, you know, no minister, no brother or sister in Christ looking at Richard Piper could have said, you know, Richard's lost. They couldn't say that because they didn't know. And,
right.
and so we just keep presenting the truth to people, and hopefully they'll come to their senses, come to faith in Jesus the proper way.
Yes, sir. Well, I appreciate it. That
yeah.
was very helpful.
I'm glad you called. Thanks for doing that.
Thanks, Adam. Let's go to Hartford, Connecticut. Talk to Julie, listening on WSDK. Hi, Julie. Welcome to Basic Gospel. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Oh, hi. I have a friend, and she kept thinking that when you receive communion, without the blood, you won't be able to save.
So if you
can't be saved.
If you receive communion.
Just the communion.
If you receive.
You have to receive both. Is that true?
Receive both of what in communion? Both the bread and the wine?
And yes.
Okay.
In order to be saved.
Okay,
but
well.
If you only receive one, you won't be able to save.
Yeah, the sad part is the communion doesn't save you. Communion is a picture of what does save you. Communion, or the Lord's Supper, is a picture of the death of Jesus in the broken bread, which dealt with the sin problem once and for all, and in the new covenant in which we live, which is represented by the grape juice or wine, which represents the blood of the new covenant. And the new covenant is possible only because Jesus was raised from the dead. And so the communion or Lord's Supper is supposed to be a celebration of what does save us, that is, Jesus in his death, burial, and resurrection. And so receiving communion doesn't save you. Not receiving communion doesn't cause you to be lost. It's Jesus who saves you, and rejection of him results in being lost or not being saved. And so your friend needs to understand that the symbols represented by communion are not reality. Jesus is the reality. It's the same thing that the writer to the Hebrews talked to his Jewish friends about. He said, the law, the Mosaic covenant, is a shadow. Don't worship the shadows. Turn around and look at the reality, who is Jesus, so that you can come to faith in him. It's the same thing with baptism, with marriage, with the Lord's Supper, with every other thing that we do that is meaningful in our lives today. Everything points to Jesus.
Yeah, and she pointed out on Hebrew 9, chapter 9, verse, I think, 19 through 21 or 23. I don't have a Bible book with me, but she pointed out that without the shed of blood, you won't be able to save.
Correct. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. And so
right.
Jesus shed his blood one time, and that provided forgiveness for the whole world if they will accept Jesus. There's no more shedding of blood.
What about receiving the communion?
The communion is a picture of that. It's not
yes,
the reality. It's only a picture of it. So when you take communion,
even if you receive communion,
it's only a picture. It's not the reality. Jesus is the reality. I mean, you could take communion for 1,000 years, And if you haven't accepted Jesus, it's meaningless. If you have accepted Jesus and you're a child of his, you've been saved, born again, then communion is a wonderful celebration of the truth that I am a saved person. I belong to Christ. He belongs to me. And more than that, we belong to each other because now we're brothers and sisters in Christ. That's the beauty of communion. If you try to make communion a salvation issue, now you're saved by works. And you're never saved by works. Salvation is always by grace through faith. And God in his wisdom and mercy gave us these pictures to help us remember what it was that saved us. And that's exactly how communion is described, the Lord's Supper. We celebrate Jesus because we remember him, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And therefore, we celebrate rather than treating this as something that saves us exclusively.
Okay. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thank you, Julie. A little bit of time left, Richard. A question from James. He says, I'm a captain for the Army National Guard. Recently had a soldier say that he knew that he had been saved and had been forgiven, but was having a difficult time forgiving himself. He wanted to know how to forgive himself. What would you say to this soldier?
Boy, that is tough, and I'm glad he was honest enough to say that. When you're in a war situation and you're called upon to do some of the things those men and women do, it changes you. It can't help but change you. I mean, just the statistics alone on the number of people who are coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan and the various service areas in the world with post-traumatic stress issues is an indicator of how serious these things are.
Yeah.
The only thing that can help a person forgive himself or forgive herself is the truth of Jesus Christ. His standards are not higher than my standards. And so if I have done something in the fog of war that I come back to base and then come home after that and it haunts me, it's not haunting me because Jesus is disappointed in me. It's haunting me because the enemy of our souls, Satan himself, is trying to drive a wedge between me and Jesus. And that is an impossibility. Jesus is there. Jesus loves you. The Spirit is living in you if you are saved and will never leave you if you are saved. So the feelings of I can't forgive myself are the result of Satan telling you that you've gone too far.
Right.
And now I'm believing him. Satan is an accuser. He's a liar. There's nothing that comes out of his mouth that is true. Trust Jesus. Trust the indwelling Holy Spirit to help you renew your mind and to slowly but surely deal with these stresses that are the result of war. And he can do that, and he will.
Yeah. Richard, we have time to squeeze in just one final really quick question from Don in Corpus Christi. Don, you're on the line. Go ahead. This is Basic Gospel. You're on the line.
Well, thank you, sir, for taking my call. Uh-huh. I have a question there. Even at the church I go to, there's a lot of the people that's gotten the concealed handgun license.
Okay, I'm going to have to interrupt you because we're almost done. The issue about carrying a weapon is an issue between you and Jesus. I mean, whatever the state says about it, you must be walking by faith in the full knowledge of everything that it means to carry a concealed weapon. If you choose not to by faith. If you choose to do so by faith, understanding exactly what's going on. It is right to protect your family and yourself. It is not right to murder people. We're out of time. That's all I've got. That's all I can say.
Thank you, Don. You know, everyone's on a journey, but we don't always know where that journey's going to end up. So, at Basic Gospel, we invite you to take a journey to life and freedom that begins with Christ. If you've been confused about the direction of your life, we have a message that will set a clear path for you. It's called the Basic Gospel Journey, and it's yours for a gift of any amount when you visit realanswers.net. Just click the link on the homepage or call 1-800-727-2828. That's 1-800-727-2828 or realanswers.net. Now for Bob and Richard and the entire ministry staff, this is Bob Davis inviting you to join us at the same time Monday for another edition of Basic Gospel.